KSU News Time, 9:07. Good morning, everybody. It's Dale Desmond. Southern U Talk on the air with Sheriff Nate Brooksby. Do you ever get tired of hearing this song when you're getting introduced?
Voice, yeah. So I had a, my grandma Brooksby loved watching Cops. So
yeah.
She would watch some late night TV and then always end with Cops. So I was first starting my career, and of course, I didn't know what I was doing in the first couple of months of law enforcement, but she had a lot of questions for me already because I was going through the academy. But
he's Sheriff Nate Brooksby, Washington County Sheriff. Nate, we were just kind of getting to know each other. I've met, I think, just about all the most of the civic leaders. Mm-hmm. I've never met you before. This is our first time meeting.
Yes.
Although I think we've been at the chili cook-off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I
recently,
see,
we actually won this year.
There so we go.
Usually the fire guys beat us, but yeah. We got them this time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been there in recent. This is the one year I wasn't there.
Okay.
But I've been, you know, I MC it and bring the music, and it's such a cool. It's such a cool fundraiser for Children's Justice Center.
Correct, yeah.
Man, what a great job Christy and everybody does at the Children's Justice Center. Let's talk about some of the cool things that the Sheriff's Department really interacts with, some of the different agencies that and support you give and receive. You know, Children's Justice Center and other different things, more than just pulling over people out on the county roads.
Yeah.
What are some of the behind the scenes?
Oh, there's a lot
to
it. So for just quick correction, we're not a department, we're an office since I'm elected.
Okay.
So you'd never say the Washington County Attorney's Department.
Okay, so it's just the Sheriff's
office, yes, because I'm elected. So that's
okay.
That's unique in law enforcement.
I never knew that.
So if you think of the office of the sheriff. So we are the only elected law enforcement officials in the entire country.
Okay.
That's important. So when I was campaigning 4 years ago, a lot of people would ask me, you know, are you a constitutional sheriff? Absolutely. But I got doing some research, and there was 38 states in the nation that specifically listed the office of the sheriff in their state constitution, and Utah didn't. There's some states like Alaska and Hawaii that don't have any county-level government, so they don't have sheriffs. It's all state.
Interesting, right? Yeah.
So when I came in as sheriff, we have associations, Utah Sheriff's Association, so all 29 sheriffs every month, we meet somewhere in the state, and but we're mostly trying to drive legislation, you know, push good bills, knock down bad bills.
Yep, yep.
But we met with some legislators then. There were some bills ran, and it's a constitutional change. So there were some bills ran in the House and Senate. They passed unanimously. And all it did is adding the office to the sheriff, the office of the sheriff to the state constitution. And it's not like, you know, the sheriff shall be king or anything like that. It's it's just each county shall have an elected sheriff. So because it was a constitutional change, the legislation was there. So last year on the ballot, that was one of the items on the ballot. So thankfully, 84% of Utahns voted in favor of that. So that's a pretty recent change to secure the office. There was some counties up north where there was some people running for office that were talking about, you know, the county commissioners can dissolve other elected official positions.
Wow.
So
yeah.
we wanted to kind of get rid of that chatter and solidify the office of the sheriff in the state constitution to kind of get rid of some of that chatter. And the office of the sheriff, one of the major responsibilities I have. So if you look at state statute, there's about 21 mandatory things that I have to do.
Okay.
And the biggest one is running the county jail. So in the state of Utah, there's 27 jails. Some counties like Paiute don't have a jail because they're just not big enough.
Right.
Yeah. So we house about 450 inmates out there. So it's a combination of state inmates and county inmates. Back in 1998, Sheriff Kirk Smith inherited a project from Glenwood Humphreys, was the sheriff before him, of building what we have is Purgatory Correctional Facility now. But the way that they were going to pay for that is the county needs then were we needed about 100 beds for county inmates. So that's people getting arrested on domestic violence and DUI, and they're sentenced locally for up to 365 days for a local offense rather than going to the state prison.
Okay.
So we built a 500-bed facility, but to pay for it, we housed 300 state inmates. So the state's paying us to house their inmates because the prison's full. They contract with sheriffs all over the state for jail space.
Shovel it around, right?
Yeah. So now, fast forward 25 years later or so, Those roles have been reversed. So now I have 350 county inmates because of the growth of the county. And I only house about 100 state inmates to offset some of those costs. So the state pays us about $4 million a year to house 100 inmates.
Mm-hmm.
We just completed a new expansion, $25 million expansion.
Had the ribbon cutting a few weeks ago.
Were you out there?
Yeah.
Okay, good turnout. So during 2020 and 2021 with COVID, we had to introduce some restrictions in the jail. We had to have extra space for quarantine. So the federal government put out some money to help offset some of that. So the county used that money to help build this new space. But that space is very specific for medical needs and mental health needs. So anyone detoxing off drugs or alcohol, anyone with mental health issues,
yep.
We have a lot more office space to meet those needs,
okay.
But then those types of inmates are housed in that same section. So it's a big, I said it's a historical event for the county to have that expansion.
Do you see a lot more mental health need, more for folks in there with mental health, concerns that you're going to need to see that expand, or is it good enough now, or what do you think?
Well, unfortunately, in society, the jails have been the dumping grounds for mental health individuals, so mental health clients, we call them, but so the state has a hospital up in Provo. It's a state hospital. They're bursting at the seams all the time. If there's a chance we're going to get somebody in there, it's about a 4 or 5 month wait. Once they get in there, they're trying to get them in and out of there as soon as possible. Get them stabilized on meds. Hopefully they take them once they get released. So just inherently, the jails have become kind of the dumping grounds. We deal with alcohol detox, drug detox. Sometimes it's dual diagnosis. Maybe you use too much methamphetamine and now you have some mental health problems because of that, or you're mentally ill and you're using drugs to kind of self-medicate.
So
by default, I'm a law enforcement agency, but I have 12 full-time nurses. So we have nursing staff on 24/7.
Okay. At the jail. Okay.
And I have a contracted doctor. I have dentists that come in. I have barbers that come in. And I have 3 licensed clinical social workers to deal with the individuals dealing with mental health.
Yeah.
So
a lot going on out there at the jail. It's like a small city out there.
I'd say anything that you need on the outside, we have to find a way to provide it on the inside. So to the tune of 471,000 meals were cooked in my facility last year.
Wow.
We use inmate labor to cook meals, do laundry.
We're still making license plates? What are they? I mean, I know
that's at the prison. They do that.
Okay.
We use them more for, like, you'll see them on I-15 picking up trash.
Yep.
St. George Cemetery, pulling weeds and things like that. So that they appreciate the time out of the facility.
Yeah.
So they're
a little work release.
They're easy to manage, right? They're well-behaved inmates. They've been
earned it,
vetted, if you will, over a year or two that, hey, if you have good behavior, then you're going to get some good things. If you don't, then you're going to be in a lockdown cell for 23 hours a day.
For sure.
So
he's Sheriff Nate Brooksby, Washington County Sheriff's Office.
Thank you.
I'll make sure. I've never known the distinction before. I was today years old when I learned that distinction. You talked about meeting together with the Sheriff's Association,
uh-huh.
and you guys get together and you look at different legislation. Just last evening, we saw this young lady hurt on another e-bike. She was pretty badly hurt, hospitalized, and I know that's a gray area at this point. I know you guys. I talked to, I'm trying to remember who I was. It was Chief Whitehead or one of the other chiefs here in the area. We're talking about how it's really difficult to mitigate and to keep. These are, where is it? Is it an e-bike? Is it a is it a dirt bike? Is it a, where are we at classification-wise? What's the infraction? What's the violation here?
Yes.
How are you guys dealing with that?
Well, so that's primarily, we don't deal with a whole lot of that out in the county. So we patrol 2,500 square miles of Washington County. 50% of what we do is helping other agencies out, so whether it's St. George City or Highway Patrol. So think from Enterprise to New Harmony to Hilldale to the border to the state line. Mm-hmm. That's all of Washington County. Kolob Reservoir, all of Zion National Park. But the e-bike thing, so I built a home in Little Valley 23 years ago, and that used to be the end of town. Now it's the heart of town.
Now it's the heart of e-bike.
So in Little Valley, we're seeing the Surons, bikes, the teenager doing wheelies up and down the road, blowing through intersections. They run from us a lot. So it's been an issue. But if you look at the Suron type, legislation, like, they base it on a certain wattage. So just like horsepower on a motorcycle on a motorcycle, they're looking at wattage. So if it's under a certain watt, you can be on the road. If it's over a certain watt, it's basically a motorcycle, whether it's electric driven or gasoline driven, typical piston driven engine. It's the same thing. If the wattage is high enough, so the vast majority of the Surons in the cities, they can't be on the roadway. It's illegal, just like a dirt bike would be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
anywhere, if you're, let's say you're leaving your house, you're in Little Valley, some kid zips by doing something dumb, and you're in Little Valley, are you able to pull them over? Are you able to pursue that?
Oh yeah.
So, okay. Because it's in the county, you're at the jurisdiction.
Yeah. So we have, in the state of Utah, every law enforcement individual goes through the same academy. We have state certification. So we can actually act as law enforcement anywhere in the state. Now, we do have primary jurisdiction, so it would be unusual for me to pull over a vehicle in Salt Lake City. But the cities have their jurisdiction, so mm-hmm. St. George City officers typically don't leave St. George City.
Right.
Same with Washington, Hurricane. But the county, we go everywhere.
We're
passing through these cities all day long, heading to Enterprise or New Harmony, Tokerville, things like that. So we have... just as much jurisdiction. Highway Patrol, they usually don't deal with domestic violence. We're dealing with that.
Yeah, that's your deal, right?
They're trying to keep things safe on I-15 in those major arteries coming through the county.
Got it. He's Sheriff Nate Brooksby. You can text in. You can, if you have any thoughts, any texts, any questions you want to pass along, you can text in that text line, 435-261-4540. For Sheriff Brooksby in studio this morning. Looking at some of the crime trends here, the reports that have been put out last, I think the last one came out in September that I'm aware of. Looking at drug violations, back in 2024, there were 1,420. This year, there's only 1,038. Now, I realize we've got several months left, a few months left.
Yeah.
It seems like it's coming down. Do you see that, you know, I remember I was talking to... Chief Whitehead about, and he gave credit to the administration, the presidential administration, in kind of cutting off the fentanyl and a lot of these narcotics coming across the border. Have you seen that being, you know, in the countywide a trend?
Yeah. So our drug task force, we were talking a little bit off air. So drug task force, an area I can point to where we're really coming together as law enforcement in the community. So it's made up of about 22 detectives. So, you know, Santa Clara Ivins, the sheriff's office, DEA, St. George City, we all put in manpower to fight that fight, right? So in 2023, just in Washington County, we recovered 167,000 fentanyl pills. Last year in 24, we recovered 233,000 fentanyl pills just in Washington County. Mm-hmm. The state of Utah was over 2.5 million. What I'm hoping to see in the statistics from 2025 is a very sharp reduction in that. And I believe securing the border is just making it harder, right? So they're having to... So once the supply in the U.S. is depleted, I think we're going to see a very rapid depletion in those statistics in the next year or two.
Yeah, that's what Chief Whitehead was saying, he's seen a sharp drop. I'm curious. When you see that drug drop, usually you see a crime drop too as well, or do you see... I mean, how does go hand in hand?
They're intertwined. Yeah. So your drug dealers, your drug users, they're not working 9 to 5 jobs, right? So they're burglarizing vehicles and homes and businesses to feed their habit. One thing, particularly with the fentanyl, we've seen a lot of overdoses. So every law enforcement officer, county deputy, we carry doses of Narcan.
Yep.
So every week, we are hitting people with Narcan to bring them out of an overdose. And that's specific to the fentanyl issue. That's where we're seeing it. So we know that China's bringing in chemicals to Mexico. Mexico's pressing these small blue pills with an M on one side and a 30 on the other. It's a fake fentanyl pill. The issue there is there isn't quality control in the super labs in Mexico. So the end user has zero idea what they're ingesting. It's a little blue pill. Could be 10%, could be 60%. We've seen cases where you take one and you're dead. So that's the issue that we're dealing with the overdose side, is the end user is not aware of what they're actually ingesting. And along those lines, younger victims, I would say, in the overdoses. So if you're in high school or college, you're not really going to be excited about sticking a needle in your arm to use heroin.
Yeah.
But if you're at a party and somebody says, "Hey, take this little blue pill," you're going to have a good night.
That's way easy, right?
That's the issue. It's easy access. It's easy to ingest, and you have no idea what you're putting in your body.
Oof. That's, you know, back in the day, and maybe that's, you know, back in the day, you could do that sort of thing. But now it seems like it's a real flip of the coin, and yeah. you never know where it's coming from. You never know what's going to happen. What is looking at, and by the way, we're here with Sheriff Nate Brooksby from Washington County Sheriff's Office.
I'll congratulate you every time you get that.
Thank you. I'll see us out somewhere, and I'm going to keep saying it.
Okay.
We talked about, you know, drug, it looks like, you know, drug crime is down. What are some other trends you're seeing coming down? Domestic violence, is that coming down? Are we seeing that kind of hold steady? I mean,
yeah,
what?
Domestic violence has been steady. That's an in-home thing, mm-hmm. that people are going to have conflicts. Unfortunately, during the holidays, we see an uptick in domestic violence, you know. The whole family gets together, and
yeah.
Uncle Tom,
in-laws, right?
Uncle Tom's not liked in the family, and we have an issue with Uncle Tom or whatever. Those, you know, that Bob, whatever. So
right, sick of the Trump posts on Facebook.
Sure,
and someone's got to let him know.
Don't talk politics at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right. That's how it should go. What are you seeing? What are you happy about? And what trends are you seeing in the county that you know, law enforcement wise, this is, you know, hey, this is really cool. We like what we're seeing here.
Yeah. So we talked off air a little bit. So overall in Washington County, we live in a very safe community. With the growth from when I first moved here, 35,000 population. Now we're about 220 countywide. Naturally, with growth, you're going to see some additional crime in the area. We do have some traveling crime sprees that come through, whether they're, you know, back east, or the proximity to Las Vegas doesn't really help us out with things like, that's where the drugs are coming from.
Yep.
That's where the prostitution's coming from. But I think a lot of the community doesn't realize how active we are, particularly with the drug task force. So again, 22 full-time people, and they're working dope cases 24 hours a day. But the community doesn't really see that. We're just doing the work, and you're not seeing it happen. So.
Yeah.
A lot of behind the scenes.
It is. And I guess it's gotta be hard. My brother-in-law was a regular police officer. I think he worked in Kansas, and then he was working in Tooele, and he had to get out of it because it was every day seeing people at their worst.
Yeah.
And that's gotta be hard.
It's rare that you get good news. Even in my day to day with, you know, budgets and personnel and things like that. You don't get good news very often. Now, I would say, so we just had an awards banquet last week. Every year this time of year, we have an awards mm-hmm. banquet to recognize, you know, employees at life-saving awards. So there was some phenomenal reaction to some tragic incidents from my deputies saving lives, you know, horrible traffic accidents where if we didn't intervene, that those people would likely not have made it.
Mm.
We have inmates that on the mental health sides, you know, suicidal ideations. So several of instances where we've
stepped in and helped out.
Yeah, that like where seconds count.
Yeah.
And we just happened to be in the right place at the right time to intervene. I had one of the other major responsibilities I have is search and rescue.
Yes.
So statutorily, the sheriff shall manage all search and rescues in the county. Now, the cities, you know, if the fire department wants to go do something in their city, then we don't deal with that. If it's a lost child or maybe an elderly person with dementia, then it's all hands on deck. So it's law enforcement, it's fire guys, it's volunteers. We get paged into the cities search and rescue wise to help out with those. But I had a...
Let's take a quick break. I want to come back. I want to hear the rest of the story. Okay. And I also want to hear about some of these names. I want you to give some of these guys a shout out, gals a shout out that have done some incredible things in the last year. We'll get to that after the break. Sheriff Nate Brooksby here on KDXU. KDXU News Time is 9:30 in studio with Sheriff Nate Brixby, Washington County Sheriff's Office. And we're just learning a lot today here, Nate. We're getting through it today, buddy.
Yeah.
We're getting through it. So we were talking before the break. We were talking about how you guys have just had your awards ceremonies and done some really cool and honoring some of your officers, some of your deputies, and some of the cool things they've done. We were just kind of talking off here, but I got goosebumps just hearing about it. I'm excited to hear kind of more about some of the things that happened that you guys were honoring this year.
Yeah, so things like horrific traffic accidents where we happened to be the first on scene, and we had several instances of deputies using tourniquets to save lives this year. I'd mentioned one of my responsibilities is search and rescue operations in the county. So fortunately, I have five full-time, a sergeant and four deputies that oversee search and rescue operations.
Yep, yep.
And then we have about 100 volunteers, just good members in the community with, you know, we have a east side ground, a west side ground, a dive team, a swift water team, an EMS team, and a high angle team. So a lot of moving parts within search
and
rescue.
Talk about a high angle. What's that?
So high angle team is ropes
okay,
and rigging.
Got
so
it.
If we
okay.
get somebody ledged up in Snow Canyon or Zion National
yes.
Park or
yep.
Water Canyon out by Hilldale's a common one. But we have a pretty good drone program. So in, let's see, 2016, I started a drone program. We started with a couple. Now with technology like computers and cell phones. Every 3 months, you got to get the newest and latest and greatest drone with AI technology and payload capabilities. So I had one of my search and rescue volunteers, a guy named Carson. He was out. They were just finishing a call on the east side of the county. But my patrol deputies received a call of a possible individual that had some suicidal ideations up on Smith's Mesa. Well, Carson ended up taking one of our newer drones and just flying it up around Smith's Mesa area using thermal imaging.
Yep.
So it's tracking heat signatures. He picks up a heat signature. He zooms in. He sees a vehicle with a hose from the tailpipe going into the car.
Yes.
He flies the drone and drops it right in front of the front of the car and starts flashing these LED lights.
Wow.
Well, that gets the individual's attention. Within about 8 minutes, he gets out of the car, drives down the hill. My deputies meet with him, take him to the hospital for an evaluation.
Get him cleared, right?
But he made a comment. He said I was just ready to be done tonight, and seeing that drone made me feel like somebody cared about me.
Oh.
So I changed my mind. So So we gave him a life-saving award, but that was a very unique.
Yeah.
It's not like throwing a tourniquet on somebody
no,
or doing CPR. It's technology, timing.
Using your brain.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It was phenomenal to give that award.
And it was who again?
His name's Carson Hunt.
Carson Hunt.
Has a business just down the street here. So
very nice.
Really good, really dedicated volunteers that they live for it. I mean, whether it's 2 a.m. or 2 a.m.
Yeah.
We had a few years ago, we had a fall in the Bloomington Caves right at 2 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day.
Wow.
When everyone's sitting down to get ready for dinner.
Yeah.
And we had like 28 people show up to help out. They left their dinner tables on Thanksgiving.
Football,
to go do what they signed up to do, right?
Yeah. So. Answering the call. So did all the 28 of them, you said?
As far as
that showed up, you said there was
20... on that Bloomington Cave call. Yes,
they all showed up. They all honored an award for that day, or is that just
that was just
an example.
Of their dedication, having based literally leaving Thanksgiving dinner.
Okay.
To volunteer and help our community out.
He's Sheriff Nate Brixby in studio for just a little bit longer here till the top of the hour. You got some, if you want to send a question, a comment, you can text us 435-261-4540. We talked a little bit about, how, you know, your deputies, I think we were talking off air about this, how the deputies are working in the drug task force. And how other cities, you go to other places, you go to, you know, conventions, and you go meet with sheriffs from not just in the state, but, you know.
Yeah, we have a Western states, we have a national. So I was in Florida last year at our national sheriff's conference. So it's unique to see how people operate a little bit differently all over the country.
Yeah.
And what their responsibilities are, what they're doing. So back east, some sheriffs, basically, they're running their jail and doing paper service. They don't have any patrol operations.
Right.
In the west, it's a lot more patrol operations, running the jail. We still do paper service. But the regular patrol deputies, so I have about 50 that are actually in trucks and uniforms patrolling the community. We have a pretty robust canine unit, too.
Yeah.
So I have two canines that we call dual purpose. So they're Fugitive apprehension, so they're trained to bite and hold a fugitive if you're running from us. Uh-huh. And then they also detect narcotics. So we have a third one named Scout that a local.
It's a good name.
The Dixie Elks Foundation, not the Dixie Elks Lodge, but a foundation that's really good about finding areas in the community that for using some of their funding. So about a year and a half ago, we ended up buying a dog named Scout, but Scout specific to search and rescue, so tracking lost individuals and also cadaver dog. So,
okay, yeah.
And that one's kind of interesting because to train dogs, so their initial training's like 500 hours, and they train about 10 hours a week, get certified every year to make sure that they're still doing their job. But they have training aids, so they'll take a toy, and this toy smells like marijuana, this toy smells like methamphetamine. So the dogs don't know it's a smell of methamphetamine. They just know if they smell the smell.
Whatever it is.
And they're going to indicate, and they're going to get their toy. It's just a game to them.
Yep.
But if you're training a cadaver dog, you have to have those types of scents.
Wow.
Which is kind of unique. So
I've got teenagers that they could smell their room. It would smell like that.
Yeah. So we have some training aids that are basically various stages of human flesh and different stages of decomp. So that's a state law allows us to work with a medical examiner to get some of those, and it's just scent. Like it's not a big chunk. It's kind of interesting though, right? Kind of gross maybe for some people.
Well, but
that's the training aid.
So. Yeah, but if you're looking for a dead body, you're going to need that to come in handy. On that point.
That's, and I think Scout's a perfect name for that assignment too, right?
It sure is. It sure is. See, we're talking about you meet with these other sheriffs here statewide, other states as well. A couple of things. One, what things do you learn from these guys? And two, what are they jealous of? When you are sitting around, you're talking stats, or you're talking about your county, and they go, stop it.
So we are considered a small class 2 county.
Okay.
So the only class 1 county is Salt Lake County. Utah County is a very large class 2 county. But we're kind of in the middle. So I mentioned like Paiute County. You got a sheriff and like 3 deputies, but that sheriff is doing patrol
because
that's their budget, that's their funding, that's
stopping
the exact
speeders
community.
And answering calls. Yeah.
Where I have 206 full time employees, 30 part time employees. I say most days I just drive a desk because I'm dealing with personnel issues and budget issues, things like that. So there's some differences in how
someone's
got to
do it.
Yeah, someone has to do it, but an agency our size. That's just where my attention needs to be is running. So I spent a lot of time back in the jail too. Just being back there, the deputies appreciate seeing the sheriff coming back and just checking in operations.
Yeah.
I know, you had a fight in A block last night, or you found drugs in B block this morning type thing. So just that presence and me making regular inquiries and patting them on the back means the world to them.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Having that FaceTime with the boss. And then what do you learn from these other sheriffs as you go back and you visit with these guys? Do you have other techniques, other classes you go to when you go to these conferences you know, nationwide?
Yeah. So, we're dealing with, our legislators feel obligated to change the law every year. So we're constantly getting legal updates. It's
okay.
Their job.
Oh, yeah.
It's their job.
But you got to do it. You got to be on top of it.
Last year they ran about 500 bills.
Wow.
So a lot, some of that has to do with land issues or water issues. But we find this chunk of about 10% that directly affects law enforcement, city, county, state. So there's been a lot of changes over the years, and we're constantly being refreshed on, we call them legal updates. So the session runs January, February. By about April, we're meeting with attorneys from all over the state, and they say, hey, these are all the bills that were passed that have a direct effect on you. This could be, reporting jail statistics or crime statistics or changes in a window tint law or things like that. It's just constantly evolving. So I know Sheriff Pulsifer used to say, the only thing constant in law enforcement is change. And I would totally agree with that.
For sure.
Because I never know what's coming my way on a day-to-day basis.
It keeps you young that way, Nate.
Yeah.
Keeps you Nate.
Yeah.
Nate Brooksby, Washington County Sheriff's Office, in studio for a little bit. If you want to text this, you can send a text And if you have questions for the sheriff, 435-261-4540. Did you grow up wanting to be a police officer? What did you grow up wanting to be? When was it high school? Was it college? Where did you decide, like, I'm going to get into law enforcement?
So I grew up here at, well, so I was born in Mesa, Arizona, but I went to preschool here.
Okay.
So you get, you know, people, are you a lifelong resident? Well, I went to preschool here. I wasn't born here, but I would say it's fair that I've been a lifelong resident. Grew up in the Green Valley area by the Santa Clara River, build tree huts and underground forts, things like that. It was a great, great upbringing.
All right.
But my wife and I were high school sweethearts.
Okay.
So I've been with her since like ninth grade.
Wow.
But about 18, 19, we're talking about wanting to get married. And so I was looking for a career path. So I was looking at ITT Technical Institute in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Was kind of what I was looking at. But then I just happened to be reading the Spectrum newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a job posting, but there was an advertisement for a local police academy. So back then, Weber State University had a satellite academy at Dixie State. Was what Dixie was called back then.
Yep.
So I thought, hey, this might be interesting. I can keep working a full-time job. School's on the evenings and weekends. So I can get my law enforcement certification, still work. I don't have to move to Salt Lake. So that's what I did. It was a complete fluke. And looking back, I can't imagine doing anything different. Like, I don't have any family in law enforcement. And to go from working, my first job was in patrol in Washington City in 1996. And Washington City is about what Leverkin is now.
Okay, you're right.
So it was a big deal that the Albertsons came in. This was well before Walmart was even there. So we only had about four of us that patrolled Washington City. So from 96 to 99, that's what I did. I worked some patrol. I worked at Mill Creek High School. We used to be in Washington City. Mm-hmm. So I did part of my hours as a school resource officer there. And then in 1999, I get called into the mayor's office, city manager's there, and they said, hey, you don't have a job anymore. We're dissolving our police department. Oh. We're going to contract with the sheriff's office.
Wow.
In 1999.
Yep.
So Washington City contracted with the sheriff's office. I didn't have a job for 2 weeks, but within 10 to 14 days, I was full-time.
Did you know that something was coming, though? Or
I
you...
had no idea.
Okay.
No
so you
idea.
Were
it
you were
totally blindsided.
You were looking at working at Albertsons or
wasn't
something.
Wasn't cool, man. Right? So within 2 weeks, I started my... So I applied at the sheriff's office.
Yep.
That was when they were just moved into the new jail.
Okay.
So they went from like a 40-bed facility downtown St. George to this new 500-bed facility. So they really needed some staffing.
Yeah.
So I think it was 10 to 14 days I applied, and then, you know, within 2 weeks I'm working my first full-time day
for sure
in the jail. So I did about a year and a half in the jail. During that time, I received my corrections certification. Mm-hmm. So there's in law enforcement, everyone goes through a special functions class, and then you either go to a law enforcement class or a corrections class. I happen to have all three, so I could work in the jail. I can work patrol.
Yeah.
But then it just kind of evolved. You know, I went to patrol in the county in 2000. I did about 5 years on patrol, and then I was promoted to sergeant. So I worked sergeant on patrol, and then I was a sergeant in investigations. Then I was a lieutenant over investigations. And in like 2016, I was promoted to chief deputy over the whole patrol division.
Wow.
And then as Sheriff Pulsifer was winding down his last term and decided he needed to retire.
Yep.
He made me the undersheriff for about 6 weeks, and then there was a special election, and then I became sheriff.
That was it.
December of 2021, and still here now. So I just hit my 4-year anniversary as a sheriff, even though I completed 13 months of Sheriff Pulsifer's last term. I'm about year 3 into my first 4-year cycle.
Yeah. And so, you got next year coming back around. We'll start seeing the signs popping up.
Yeah.
He's right. You talked about a little bit about working at the jail. How do you see now with this new section we just opened up? Actually, let's take a quick break. I want to come back. I want to talk a little bit about this new section of the jail.
Okay.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Again, you can send us a text if you have questions, if you have something you want to pass along to Sheriff Nate Brooksby in studio for about 10, 15 more minutes. You can text us 435-261-4540. Alrighty, 9:47, Southern U Talk. I'm Dale Desmond in studio with Sheriff Nate Brooksby. All right, now, Sheriff, you guys do a lot of continuous training. You guys are always trying to stay ahead of trends. You learn a lot, right? And you do the after-action report. Something happens, you sit down, you go, okay, what did we learn from this? And let's make sure this doesn't happen again, or
correct,
let's make sure we do this better next time. Now, talk about some of the ongoing and upcoming training that you guys are working on to stay ahead of the bad guys out in the world.
So we have a couple things unique to the sheriff's office. So we run the Metro SWAT team. So we're the lead agency. So we have like Santa Clara, Ivins, Washington City, Hurricane City, all pitch in manpower to help build this about a 28-man team.
Okay.
With that, we have, you know, designated snipers, designated less lethal, designated breachers. We have a couple armored vehicles. So about 3 months ago, there was a big incident down in Little Valley about half a mile from my house.
Yeah.
Where we had an active shooter incident. We had, you know, four armored vehicles there. We ended up using some gas in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, nobody got hurt. I mean, we had officers pinned down that were being shot at. And a really, really, really evolved active incident, very dangerous for the community. But that's the type of call where all hands are on deck. Technology, we had drones in the air, you know, peeking through windows and trying to get the suspect location, things like that. We also are the lead agency of our Metro Bomb Squad. I was a bomb tech for about 18 years. Spent a lot of time back in Huntsville, Alabama at a Redstone Arsenal, learning the trick of the trade, I guess. And we have like four robots, and they're not cheap.
Yeah.
So we can solve a problem without a bomb tech necessarily going down range. We have portable X-ray equipment. We have counter charges to get rid of larger explosives. Actually, some of my guys were going out to Garfield County to get rid of some old dynamite this week. But very sophisticated technology that we're constantly training on, and that technology is constantly evolving. So I use cell phones and computers, right?
Yeah.
Every 3 months, there's going to be a new cell phone that's better than the one you have. Every 3 months, there's going to be a new drone that's better than the one you have. It's just constantly evolving. So learning that new technology is constant. To keep our law enforcement certification, we have to do so many hours every year that's reported to the POST, which Police Officer Standards of Training, which is ran by the state. So they're the ones that certify all law enforcement. But there's so much beyond just the basic. It's like 40 hours a week just to maintain our certification. But we have guys that are doing 500 hours of training a year. A couple guys that are SWAT cops and bomb technicians. So they're about 50% of their time is just training.
Yeah.
So it's constantly evolving. We do have a new technology. I believe we're the first ones in the state that the sheriff's office has. When we talk about vehicle pursuits, you know, you have a vehicle that won't stop doing 80 or 90 miles an hour. Typically in law enforcement, we're calling ahead to try and get spikes set up. So if we do get a successful spike deployment, it doesn't necessarily end the pursuit. That car can drive another 30 or 40 miles until it just can't drive anymore.
Yeah, on the hubs, right.
So that's dangerous. So we had one 2 months ago. It started off as a stolen black Honda Pilot at the Maverick on 1000 East Boulevard. City starts chasing it. We get involved. Highway Patrol gets involved. We're trying to set up spikes at like 13 and 16 northbound. Well, we didn't get there in time, or the deployment wasn't successful. So that pursuit lasted till mile marker 56 in Iron County, which is a complete danger to everybody on I-15, right?
Yeah.
So there's this new technology that we've just purchased. We're installing them on our trucks, and we'll get trained sometime in mid-January to where we'll actually be operational. So it's called a grappler, and what it does is it replaces the push bumper on like an F-150. And so if we get a vehicle pursuit, we can pull them behind the vehicle. Two arms will come down, and in the middle of those arms, there's a net system. So that net system, we're going to get it, and we're going to get it wrapped around one of the back tires of that vehicle.
Okay.
What that does is
Spider-Man type
that,
move.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a game changer. I really do. So that example of, you know, the stolen Honda Pilot on 1000 East Boulevard, it takes us till mile marker 56 in Iron County to stop. With this new technology, if we can wrap up that tire and lock it, they're not going anywhere.
Awesome.
And it's actually, the initial deployment, it's actually tethered to the patrol truck. We have an option to release that tether, I think, situationally. Like, sometimes you'd probably want it tethered. Sometimes you might not want it tethered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's going to stop that pursuit instantly.
Yeah.
That car's not going to be able to drive 30 miles Mm-mm. An hour on or 30 right. miles longer on a flat tire, it's going to stop. So
dragging a F-150.
I'm really excited that we'll be the first agency in the state to have that, and I'm really excited because of the public safety factor.
Yes.
If you have a guy driving wrong way on the highway, 90 miles an hour, passing people on the shoulder, things like that. It's just a real it's no different than somebody waving a loaded gun in a shopping mall.
For sure, it's a weapon.
It's a weapon. Yeah. It's a 6,000 or 7,000 pound weapon.
Yep.
So if we can stop that instantly.
That's fantastic.
And then we'll probably go on a foot chase. They'll bail out. We'll chase them. But that's a lot safer,
right,
in the community than
hopefully,
a 6,000 or 7,000 pound vehicle doing 80 miles an hour,
right, so. Whipping through there. It would be awfully tempting to use that on your daughter's boyfriend's car at some point.
Yeah, just for fun, maybe. I'll call him over some.
Right, just to let him know that you're the man. Got a couple of texts coming in. Question for the sheriff: what's the status of establishing a large animal rescue program? We had training earlier this year via Homeland Security, hosted by Jason Bradley. What's the status on?
Yeah, so that,
do you know? Do you have a?
Jason Bradley is my director over Emergency Operations Center. So we did have the big fire in Pine Valley over the summer, right? Lost some structures, but there's a lot of equestrian groups out there, cattle groups. So because of that fire, we were trying to work with anybody and everybody that had horse trailers and any way to get them out of that area, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of what that was the EOC kind of steering that. They have a list of contacts with people that have those types of trailers and equipment. So they're running the logistics, but the reality is the boots on the ground are just people from the community.
Yeah.
That are in that rodeo, cowboy community, particularly up the SR-18 corridor.
Yep.
They all know each other. We have, the Enterprise Rodeo, Gunlock Rodeo, Vail Rodeo.
Yep.
So everyone in those communities that had those trailers were actually the ones that were providing the service with our
direction,
employees directing.
Yeah.
So I don't beyond that, that's just how it worked. We don't have a big organization or facility to house anything like that. I think it's such an infrequent event that it probably wouldn't make a ton of sense. I guess if we needed to, we could use corrals at the fairgrounds. That's county owned. So we do have that. But in the Pine Valley fire incident, it was just getting them out of the area and then go to your neighbor's corral or something.
Yeah,
somewhere in Diamond Valley or Dameron Valley, right?
Yeah, down the road, right? Yeah. Out of harm's range. That's. Do you find yourself, at times, we're wrapping up, we got about 5 more minutes here with Sheriff Nate Brooksby. Do you find yourself coming home at the end of the day and go, wow, I never thought I would deal with that as the sheriff?
Almost every day. So quite often I'll go into the office with a list, a checkoff list of things I was planning on doing the day. It's rare that I get that done because I have 50 things coming at me.
Right.
Whether it's jail operations or patrol operations or SWAT operations. I just never know. Personnel issues. I never know how the day is going to go. So there's pros and cons to that because that's part of the stress of the job, but it's also part of the bonus. I wouldn't want to just be sitting behind a cubicle all day long. That's just not my personality.
Yep.
So it's a pros and cons,
like,
right?
Like to be out there.
Yeah, increases the stress, but it's also part of the satisfaction of the job.
Yeah.
Hey, we had this major crisis that we need to deal with. We solved it. Everyone went home safe.
That's a
good feeling.
That's a good day, right? As long as you can check that off. A couple more minutes here. I've got my son is 20. And trying to figure out what he wanted to do with his life. He's got he's in welding school here at Dixie Tech. He's thinking about maybe the military. If you've got a young man or a young woman looking to, what am I going to do with my life?
Yeah.
In a couple of minutes, talk about, law enforcement as a career opportunity.
So so we're kind of, again, because I run the jail, we're kind of unique. So the city agencies, they're pulling people right out of the academies, or they're hiring them, sending them to the academy, and they're going right into law enforcement, right?
Yeah, yep.
At the sheriff's office, the default hiring position is working in the jail. It is kind of, so if you have somebody that's 20, so we can actually hire individuals that are 19 years old and get them certified to work in the jail. So we hire them as civilians.
As a corrections officer, corrections, as a cook, correct, as a janitor, yeah. What?
Corrections deputies.
So okay, okay.
They would end up being certified.
Weapons trained. And
yes, weapons trained. Okay. So we would hire you as a civilian. We are paying you like $26 an hour while you're a civilian. You work in the jail in the control rooms for about 3 or 4 months until we can get you to the academy.
Yep.
And then we pay for all your academy expenses. You're still making $26 an hour while you're going through the academy.
Wow, that's great.
Once you get certified, then your pay goes up to about $31 an hour. So for a 19 or 21-year-old kid, that's a pretty
good
pretty
paycheck.
Good $31 an hour.
Yeah.
Within about 6 months of being hired. And then it just goes up from there. And then there's all kinds of opportunities for patrol, SWAT, bomb tech. Like there's a ton of opportunities at the sheriff's office. And then when you start talking about promotion, the money gets better. But at the age of 19, you're starting your Utah retirement system.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting really good medical benefits, things like that. That people, you know, I can go drive truck for, well, I can go drive like a dump truck and make 30 bucks. I was going to name someone in specifically. I probably shouldn't name him specifically. He runs a big trucking company.
Okay, good.
But you can go and, you know, you can go and work for that individual for $30 an hour driving a dump truck all day long. But you're not getting retirement. You're not getting the medical.
Yep.
So to be able to get into a career making $31 an hour within 6 months after certification and you're starting your retirement and you're getting good medical benefits. Young kids specifically don't think about that kind of stuff.
And you can retire as a deputy.
Once you get 25 years in,
25
you
years.
Can retire.
And you get full pension.
Yeah, full pension.
And that's great.
It's a good benefit that, again, a lot of young people don't. I don't think I thought about that when I first got on. it's a good gig. So
I like it. It's a tough job. I told you, my brother-in-law, I went with him on a ride along once, and man, just I have such respect for all police officers, for deputies, Sheriff Nate Brooksby. Thanks for coming and spending a few minutes with us. Did you have a chance to get out and hunt and fish at all? Do you ever do any of that stuff real quick?
Yeah, I do. We do camping. I'm going to go on a mountain bike ride this afternoon. So
all right.
Like the mountain bike. I like to go to the gym. I like bass fishing at Sand Hollow.
All so right.
Those are things that help my stress level, right?
All right. And you probably got a lot of it.
Got to keep busy.
Sheriff Nate Brooksby in studio this morning. Thanks for stopping by for his monthly visit.